Today I want to look at some of the key characteristics of the internet and how they impact on the way you gather and collect electronic evidence. So let's start with a very basic question. What is the internet? Well, it's basically a load of interconnected networks. That's why it's called internet. Most people, however, use the term World Wide Web interchangeably, and it's not right because the World Wide Web is just a retrieval service. It's like going to the library and taking a book off the shelf. This is a traditional description of the way the internet is arranged. We talk about the top 4% being the World Wide Web. I have to be careful here because you can find other estimates and they will vary considerably. The problem is nobody really knows, but this is the one I'm going with today. So let's consider the World Wide Web consists about 4% of the entire network of networks. Now this is the bit that you access when you do your search on Google or Yahoo. It's publicly accessible, you just need an internet connection. And then about 90% of it is the deep web. Now this is where all the governments and banks and corporations do the things that you shouldn't have access to because it's private and you can't access it by using a search engine. So you can't use it with your Google or Bing or whatever. But there's also the dark web, and estimates vary, but they say it's about 6% of the entire internet. And this is where your spies operate. This is where dissidents and whistleblowers share their information, as well as criminals. You need special software to access it, and we will look at some of that a bit later. Well, it's considerably, it's amazing to me. I mean, do you know we landed on the moon before we had the internet? The internet is just about 50, almost 53 years old now. I'm older than the internet. And it's been snowballing, it's been gathering pace all those years. In such a short time, it's become integral to everything we do. And here you can see a statistic. Look, this was from just a year ago or so. And they reckon there's 4.66 billion active internet users. So that's more or less 60% of the global population. And that will be more than now than it was then. And 92.6% access the internet using mobile devices. In other words, your phone. You can see them, can't you, on the internet, sitting in a bus or on a train or just walking along the road looking at their phones. The World Wide Web, remember that's only 4% of the internet, contains at least 4.13 billion pages. And 2.5 quintillion bytes of data created daily. Now that's incredible. Now this statistic is from 2019, so it's bound to be more now. And then the statistic quoted said that 90% of the world's data had been created since 2017. What is it now? And I ought to explain what a quintillion is, because I didn't know until I looked it up. Look. 1 followed by 18 zeros. It's that many, look, all those zeros in bytes created per day. When I had my first computer, it had 4, that's right, 4 megabytes of storage in all. Now, one of the key issues with all this data around, which you would think gives awful lot of opportunity in terms of investigation, well, electronic evidence, I want to put to you, is actually circumstantial evidence. It's indirect. So it's not enough to find the computer, which of course you have to do, or I said a computer Remember, the phones in your pockets are computers too now. You have to find which device was used in the offence, but you then have to go one step further and find out who was using that device at the relevant time. Now, don't forget traditional forensics when you're doing that. Things like fingerprints, DNA, fibres, hairs, all of those can help link someone to a device, as can their online activity, what social media accounts were logged into at the same time. Were they looking up a particular horoscope, which might give you an indication of their birthdays, things like that. But now let's look at the way the internet is structured. I should say, however, that it's insecure by design. It was deliberately made to be accessible and so that people could access it from different places. That makes it more difficult to control. The internet has a kind of a structure to it, and one of the main ways this is done is through something called the Transfer Control Protocol Internet Protocol, TCP/IP. There are lots of protocols. Now, in English, protocol means a way of doing something. I know in some languages, particularly in Europe, a protocol can mean a report, but this means you agree to do something in a particular way. So, for instance, if you're driving a car, you agree to stay on a particular side of the road, whether it's the left or the right, and you agree to stop at traffic lights, and you agree to keep within the speed limit. All of these rules are in place to stop you having a crash or a collision. It's the same with the internet. There are protocols in place to make sure that data doesn't crash, collide, and get lost. IP addresses are fundamental to finding your way around the internet, but we're going to talk about those a bit more in a little while. Now, when information is transmitted over the internet, it's not sent it like a whole page all at once or a whole photograph all at once. It's split up into little bits called packets. And those packets are then sent along this information highway by the fastest route. Now, that might mean that one document might be split into 100 different pieces, and those different pieces may take different routes because the internet is clever enough to find out the fastest way to its destination. And at the end, when it arrives on your device or the device of the person you're sending the message to, then all the pieces get put back together again. If something's missing, if it's corrupted, if it's damaged, or just hasn't got there because it's crashed along the way, then a new piece is requested. And at the end, all the pieces are put together like a jigsaw. The World Wide Web, and that was only since 1989, the World Wide Web. So in these last, 33 years? The World Wide Web is based on something called HTTP, the Hypertext Transfer Protocol, and these days most websites have an S tagged onto the end, and that S stands for secure. This system was invented by Tim Berners-Lee, who was working at the CERN laboratory in 1989. You can think of the website like a collection of pages. I mentioned www, World Wide Web, being like a retrieval service. Well, if you think of a website like a book with lots of different pages in it, and the internet like an infinitely huge eternal library where all the books are stored on different shelves. The HTTP allows you to put all those pages together and to identify them. But how do you get there? How do you find out what you're looking for? Well, this is the way you'll be most familiar with. You will key in a website address, sometimes called a unique resource locator, URL. There we go. And it starts off, if you write it in full, with the HTTP or HTTPS, and that is the protocol involved. And there are people who are a bit more technically advanced who sometimes might modify that with a different protocol. Then the World Wide Web. Again, these days, that's not always needed. And then this is the bit you always remember, the domain. This is the thing that's familiar to you. And in this case, I'm using, obviously, the your PazyShirex Academy era. And then at the end, there's something called the top-level domain. Now, these are interesting. There are lots of them about now. They used to be restricted, but they can be almost anything these days. And there's a selection of them at the bottom, .gov, .com, .edu, .org, and so on. Originally, they actually indicated very much the flavor of the website you're looking at. That's not so true these days. And the owner of a website, all their details are registered in something called the Whois database. Now, I say owner, but they're not really owners, because in truth, you only lease a website. You buy it for a certain period of time, and if you don't pay your money up at the end of that time, it goes back into the pot and someone else can buy it. And sometimes they do. Sometimes people wait for that to happen, then they will jump in quickly before you can renew, and they will do a kind of hijacking of the website and make you pay the money to get it back. Now, this register keeps details of the owner, the registrant of the website, but that data may be false. Sometimes there are services which exist which you can hide behind, so you pay a service who will then register it for you. But it's always a good place to have a look at if you're looking for something to do with the website. Under the GDPR, however, the General Data Protection Regulation, public access to Whois is blocked. If you happen to belong to law enforcement or criminal justice system, you can have access. But if you are a non-authorized researcher, you can't get it anymore. Now, one of the other characteristics about the internet is things are changing all the time. So if you want to do some research, you want to do some investigation into a website, how do you know what was there last week and it hasn't been changed? Well, a partial solution to that is something called the Wayback Machine. And, well, the Wayback Machine has that kind of Californian title. But what it basically is a back library, a library of archived editions of all the reports, all of the documents that have been put on there. Now, okay, I'm probably using too much hyperbole there, because although the archive does keep back catalogues and back information, it doesn't store everything, and it doesn't store it every day. But again, it can be a rich source of information if you want to look at what happened in the past. And this is sort of what it would look like. Again, I've used the ERA website here. And what you'll see along there is a kind of a silhouette pattern. And that's actually giving details against the calendar of all the times that the website was archived. And underneath you can see the different dates highlighted. So I've gone back to the year 2000 here, and that's what it looked like. If you had gone onto the internet on the 23rd of June 2000 and accessed the ERA website, this is what you would have seen. And it's interesting because to a certain extent it's limited, but you can actually click through the different links and it will often work.